All right. From Los Angeles, California, in Bonoboville, you are listening to FDR. What does that mean? It means fuck the rich, the bonobo way. My name is Max, and I'm returning to radio after many, many years of absence. I'm sure you all missed me. And this is a radio with a different view, a different twist. It's very twisty. We move from one thing to another. And nothing is taboo. Nothing. We can talk about anything. And tonight with me is, of course, my favorite girlfriend. I only have one, and she's my very favorite. And her name, of course, you know her as Dr. Susan Block, or Dr. Susie. Hello, Dr. Susie.
Hello, my prince.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm relaxed. You know, it's the first night of FDR.
FDR, yeah. So the reason we're doing this is because the rich don't give a shit about anybody. They really don't care. What they do care about is bottom lines and how much money they can make and how much money they can accumulate for their family and their kids. Because if you have $200 billion, of course, you can't take it with you. You can't even take your suit with you, much less $200 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on this show, we're going to be talking about, let me give you some ideas, Facebook suckers. Hello, Facebook. Facebook suckers. Michael Flynn and felons and incels. And folks that are missing some cells in their heads. And who's talking out there yapping away?
It's a bonobo. A naughty bonobo.
We're also going to talk about police thugs, and how we have to remove these people from the streets who are killing black people, white people, purple people, yellow people. They're on a killing spree, and it's really disgraceful. We're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about down in Orange County, they want to pay $25,000 to cut into the line to get their COVID shots. Can you imagine that? $25,000. Anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Susie, because tonight we're not going to talk about any of that. What we're going to talk about is us, Bonoboville. It's a mutual admiration society. And I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Susie. So Dr. Susie was born and grew up in Philadelphia, right?
Bala Cynwyd, actually.
Bala Cynwyd.
Well, I was born in Philly, and I grew up in Bala Cynwyd.
Right. And a nice Jewish girl, and living with a bunch of Italians around the corner somewhere.
Those sexy Italians.
Yeah. But, you know, those sexy Italians, we put them in another part of town. Because, you know, right?
Well, the Jews were also in another part of town. And then down the road were the WASPs with their horses.
Ah, with the horses. Yeah. With the horses.
Well, I mean, not that they were having sex with the horses. No. I don't think so. I didn't see any of that.
But. Some kid just got busted for having sex with a horse.
Aw.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Poor horse.
The horse was having fun.
How do you know?
Well, he was smiling and snorting.
Can't tell.
So Susan grew up there, and then she graduated from high school. She turned down her awards. Okay, this was already a radicalized woman. She turned down her award. What kind of award was that?
I turned down my DAR award, the Daughters of the American Revolution. A long-standing, good, old-fashioned, racist organization.
Right, right. And you turned that down. And what happened? Did people like go, "What are you doing?"
I made a speech. Yeah, I was in junior high actually when I won that award for a history essay, and it was a great essay. Have no memory of what it was about. Probably, you know, colonial America, although probably not about how they would spank each other, and Spanksgiving was more historically accurate than Thanksgiving. But be that as it may, I won this award. And then I got this, like, I guess you could say a thought gangbang. Consensual, because I wanted to hear all these thoughts. But all these people came up to me and they explained to me what the DAR was. And I had no idea. And it just sounded like not something I wanted to participate in. So I turned it down, and I remember that the principal of the school, Mr. Dodd.
How you doing, Mr. Dodd?
Yeah, he was a little like Mike Pence, I would say. And, you know, he probably called his wife mother. And he just put his head in his hands, and he was very disturbed, and he did not want me to turn it down, and he threatened me with all kinds of things, and I just turned it down.
Okay.
Beginning of my revolutionary career.
And is that when you started to travel, or did you start?
I was 14.
Yale?
I wasn't traveling much.
Yes.
I mean, a little with my parents and stuff.
You haven't any kind of sex.
Was I having sex at 14?
I was making out
and heavy petting.
Heavy petting.
Heavy petting.
Right, that's
heavy petting.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Montclair, New Jersey in the 1950s. My parents gone, only my keepers there, and dancing with these girls. I had never smelled a girl up close, and they smelled really good.
Well, good for them. Because that's not necessarily always the case.
Right.
I don't know about the boys. They didn't smell that good up close. I remember one of my first make-out sessions at the Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church dance. The guy smelled like stale beer, old Chesterfields, and a leather jacket. I like the leather jacket, had a thing for leather jackets.
So how did you end up at Yale? Now, okay, this girl is one of those girls, this woman, sorry. Mm.
No, yeah, I could be a girl. Woke, I'm old woke. Enough that I like being called a girl.
Woke. Woke.
Don't wake up on me, baby. Yeah, okay. How did I get into Yale? Well, I guess you could say, you know, my parents bribed the right people, of course. Isn't that how you get into these places?
That's the way it used to be. Now it's a criminal act.
Oh. Yes. No, I didn't have anybody that went to Yale. And, you know, I mean, we were privileged, but not that privileged. So I had to actually win a few other awards that I accepted in order to get into Yale.
To get into Yale. Okay. And how old were you when you got to Yale?
I was, when I got there, 17 or 18, I think maybe 18.
17 or 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the right age. That's the age you're supposed to be.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't go there. I went to.
You were busy.
Should we
talk about you?
No, not yet.
No, because, you know, you had a much more interesting life than me. Much more interesting. When I was just going to school and toeing the line, you were out there on the Lido, baby.
That's right.
You were romancing the MILFs of Italy, and you were in theater on the stage, the Arlecchino.
That's right.
You were the gendarme, and you got a very good review, I understand. You were a hot young man.
The review, you said he's tall and handsome, but he can't act for a shit.
Oh, well, can't have everything.
That's what they said. Mm. But it was fun for me because I walked around and I saw these posters with my name on them. And I
thought, nice.
One day I'm going to go to Hollywood and get the big break.
But you see, we did have a kind of similarity, I guess, in the sense that you were on stage in this theater called the Arlecchino. And I, when I graduated from Yale, was working with a little theater troupe that was made up of Yalies and Townies in New Haven, and it was called New England Commedia, and I played the part of Arlecchino.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I not only did I work at Arlecchino, at the little theater in Genova, se siete italiani da Genova, voi conoscete il teatro Arlecchino, che sta ancora là. But I also worked at the state, at the Genoa State Theater, Eleonora Duce, and I worked there. And I was having an affair with one of Italy's most noted and famous stage actresses. Yeah, and she was wonderful. She was 35, I was 16.
Wow. Ooh, that would be very illegal now.
Yes, absolutely.
Very illegal and, in most people's minds, immoral. And I am not going to judge at the moment, but apparently you enjoyed yourself.
Yes, she had two chihuahuas.
Uh-huh. Okay. You didn't have sex with them.
I didn't have sex with them, but they always wanted to jump on the bed and have sex with us.
That's typical.
Typical chihuahuas or dogs.
Any dogs, yeah.
We have a horn dog here.
Yeah.
His name is Chico.
But we don't have sex with him.
No. We don't
have
sex.
He tries to hump the leg and get in between the
legs. But I have to say, no, Chico, no.
You have to do that with dogs. Dogs are very, very friendly.
Okay, so,
and you know what? Sex is an aspect of friendliness. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say about the Arlecchino and me playing Arlecchino is Arlecchino was a character in Commedia dell'arte.
Correct, right.
And there's a lot of different characters. There's like Pantalone, who's the money bags. And there's Il Dottore, who is the professor, the very, you know, pompous kind of man of letters. And then there's Columbine, who I played later, who's Arlecchino's girlfriend. And Arlecchino and Columbine are both servants. They're working people. They're not the rich.
Right.
A lot of the other characters are rich, like the doctor and especially Pantalone. He's usually a rich guy. And one of Arlecchino and Columbine's jobs, in a way, in the Commedia dell'arte is to FDR.
FDR. Actually, Ted Meyer, who's now listening, he says, FDR for sure.
Fuck the rich, baby. Ever since Arlecchino and way before, you know, there has to be an uprising. There has to be something, and it has to be fun. It has to be fun. That's one thing.
How did you end up streaking on the Yale campus?
Oh, you want to get me naked?
Yeah,
now.
Naked, baby.
Naked.
I'm in one of those fraternities.
Yeah. Well,
no,
you know, it was one of those things
no.
that was a fad. It was. I didn't come up with it.
No.
But I was doing it a little bit with like my theater cohorts, just running around naked at parties and
all of the
tripping.
The theater tripping.
We took acid, not stones or rocks. At once I did fall down into a pond.
Into a pond?
Yes, on an acid trip. This was, you know, it was the thing. And it's amazing I survived. But so everybody was streaking, and I don't think, I guess that guy David Niven, the guy that streaked across the Academy Awards, had made streaking famous, and David Niven said, well, he's certainly showing his shortcomings. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
but
cute.
In any case, we were excited about it. I don't remember if we had any politics behind it. I don't think so. I think we were just having wild, undergraduate fun.
And you were also doing radio on
As I was streaking, I did an interview on WYBC FM.
Right.
Yale, New Haven.
You also
radio.
Had a show with weird music.
I did. I played Tibetan bells and Mahavishnu orchestra, things like that.
And what year was that?
I don't want to say.
No, I mean approximately.
Look it up on Wikipedia.
Approximately. Come on.
Come on.
Okay,
what are you trying to do here?
Well, I'm just trying to find out, because at the same time you were doing that,
yeah,
I think I was in Italy doing pirate radio.
Oh, okay.
On a fascist station, and it was called Radio Meridian.
Ooh.
Radio Meridian, and we kind of took it over from the fascist optometrist. He was an optometrist, and we took control of the radio there. And it must have been around the same time.
Must have been
70s.
We'll just say maybe.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then you stopped for a while and you started to travel.
I stopped.
I mean, you did. You took a summer vacation, and you went to Afghanistan.
Okay, yeah.
And you got raped, and you slept with cows. What was that all about?
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, when you say slept with cows, I did, but I didn't have sex with the cows.
No,
that I would sleep in these areas, like behind a barn, and there might be a cow or a water buffalo there, in addition to dogs and chickens, and you'd sleep with them and other people. And
that wasn't at the hotel where the cow came in.
No. Something just happened with my computer, but okay.
I'm just putting on the live stream to watch the comments.
Oh, okay. So I don't see anything now. Nothing is showing up. But
so you went to Afghanistan.
Yeah, that was...
Where else did you go? Tell me about all that. The travels and the motorcycles and the mud and the rain. And
I went to Nepal.
Nepal.
And I went to India.
Nepal. Nipples? Nipples?
Nipples.
Nepal.
Who's got the dirty mind? Nepal. Kathmandu, where they have the highest point on Earth. You know. Mount Everest.
It just grew, by the way, Mount Everest.
Wow, really?
Did you read about
that? I would think
that
it was lowering because of the melting of the ice.
They've actually refigured the height.
Oh, yeah. I did read that. Yeah, they had figured it wrong.
Right.
So it didn't really grow, but it's bigger,
more
actually,
exciting
than they thought it was.
Yeah. It was like a penis implant sort of thing, I thought it was, where you make the mountain bigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
and
it's certainly invigorated. Yes.
Yeah. So what happened there?
So I trekked around and I learned a lot of things. And main thing I learned was wherever you go, you're always you.
Wherever you go, you're always you.
Yeah, I think that when I went
That's heavy, man. That's heavy.
Nah, it's just something you learn when you're young, and if you travel, and when you're young, you wanna break on through to the other side. You wanna, you know, kind of go to this new place, reach nirvana, and I don't mean the group. I mean, you know, you just want to make a breakthrough, and I didn't. I just met a lot of nice people.
Palestinians?
No, that was another trip.
Oh, that was another trip.
Yeah, that was a trip to Israel. That was earlier when I was 16. I went to Israel and I went with a group of Jews that told us that Israel was a land without people for a people without land. And I went there and I saw all these people that were not Jews. And I went, who are these people? It turned out they were Palestinians. But my counselors and guides didn't really want to tell me that. They didn't want to explain that to me. They wanted me to think that these people were less than people, that the real people were the Israelis. And I just, I don't know. I guess it was since that, you know, DAR award turned down. I just wasn't accepting these things. And so I had an affair with a Palestinian. And I mean, we didn't have full-on sex, but we did the making out and heavy petting and, you know, a little oral. And we sort of, we did a lot of riding around on his motorcycle in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was so romantic. Until I got caught by the counselors.
Going out with a Palestinian. Punished.
Kept in my room. solitary.
I heard that.
Yeah, I know. That was me.
It must have come from way back when.
That was me. Mm-hmm.
So you got in trouble.
I got in big trouble. But I learned that, you know, that I was being lied to. Mm-hmm. And although I was, you know, very in love in a way with my Jewish traditions and a lot of Jewish friends, I learned that Israel was not a land without people for a people without land, that was bullshit. And that there were people there, these Palestinians who were suffering under the jackboot of Israel, just sort of like, you know, the way that the Native Americans suffered under the jackboot of Europeans. And, you know, it's a sad, sad thing when the rich fuck the poor. So fuck the rich.
FDR.
FDR. And, you know, FDR was a pretty cool guy, not just because my mom would have fucked FDR if my dad let her. She was so in love with him. Oh, my God. But he told the rich, hey, you guys, you either let me fuck you, meaning not literally have sex with you.
Right.
But we'll get to having sex with the rich, which is another way to go. But he says, you're either going to let me tax you, or you're going to get really fucked by the hordes.
The hordes.
The people.
The peasants.
The peasants. The workers.
The workers.
The out of workers.
The out of workers.
Yeah, there were a lot of them back then.
That's right.
And
that's
there are
right.
a lot of them right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of us.
They were pissed off.
And a lot of people are pissed off right now. These fuckers, as one Democratic operative has so eloquently called them. They're finding money for the military-industrial complex, for Wall Street, for all kinds of corporations, but they can't find little stimulus checks.
Yeah, I don't know if they know much about stimulation.
Well, we're going to stimulate them.
I don't know if they have sex.
They should. That's why we say fuck the rich, because we don't think they're having enough. And if they are, it's not like deep. Not deep.
It's not very deep. It's like in this big mansion, and there's a bunch of jewelry hanging around there. And he's horny. And she's like, oh, my God.
And it's all got to do with money.
My jewelry. Watch my jewelry. Not watch my hair. When you're poor, it's like, watch my hair. It's like, watch my jewelry.
I'm watching.
Okay, so then you went to, where else did you go?
Where else did I go?
Yeah.
Where are we now? I did a lot of traveling when I was young.
Well,
I don't
was,
do any now.
That was
I just
Israel.
Stay in my little room in Bonoboville.
What about Afghanistan?
Afghanistan,
that's
I went all over.
Yeah.
I went to Kabul. I went to Kandahar, which is a very religious city, and I wore a chador, which is what they call the burqa, or the, you know, they call it different things in different parts of the Middle East, niqab or hijab. I wore a chador, and that's where I fell down because I couldn't see.
Oh,
because it's like we're having a fishnet stocking over your face, which sounds kinky, but you know, actually, it is all kind of kinky. A lot of the things, you know, that bother us are kinky. I mean, what I'm saying is, okay. So, for instance, take the mask that so many Muslim women are made to wear. It's wrong, of course, to non-consensually make anybody wear anything, I think, but it's done all the time. And
Hold on a second. I need to get some vodka and Coke, please.
Okay. Yes,
because I'm doing a show.
I didn't get any.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous, really.
I only have his water. What is that? Where's my vodka? I don't want Coke, though. I want cranberry.
Cranberry? Okay, come here. Come here. By the way, we're broadcasting this from our newest Bonoboville facility, and we're in a big room, and there's a bunch of people sitting around here. They're all masked.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I have my mask on a lot, but then you know, we're in this, this is a sensitive microphone.
I have my mask on too.
Yeah, you have your mask on.
Thank you, Abraham.
We also have a bar, which is closed, of course, because of COVID. It's only open to me.
Well, and me.
And,
and him.
And him.
And them.
And him and him and her. Right. It's a very nice.
We're limiting ourselves in COVID. We have no in studio guests. We have we wear masks a lot.
Right.
We try to keep socially distanced. Well, physically distanced.
Physically,
I don't like the term social distancing.
We're not socially distanced.
No,
we're socially
here we are.
Engaged.
We're
actually.
Right in your ears, aren't we?
You know, that's one thing. And people love to stick sounds in their ears. It's not like anal sex. It's like ear sex.
Ear sex.
Right.
Eargasm.
Eargasms.
Right. Eargasms. Remember eargasms?
I do remember those.
See, that's what you can have on the radio. Well, I call it radio. It's really a podcast, right, nowadays, because we're not on regular radio. But that's where we both started, in a way, in media.
Right.
You know, after doing theater, which is an in-person experience, then radio, which to me was totally magical. So, but we're going all over the place. I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah. Where do you want to go? Back to Afghanistan or?
I just lost the connection, so I'm just trying to reconnect.
Okay.
And we're okay there, Abe? Abe is our engineer tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah is our producer.
Okay.
What is going on? Mars okay, making
just,
noise. Yeah. Things like
I just
no.
Disconnected from okay. My Wi-Fi, so it should be working.
So
okay.
Okay.
So now okay. It's back up. It's back on.
It's okay.
Cool. Okay, we're recording anyway, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're back.
I didn't know we were gone.
I just said we were.
Oh.
Okay, so now where am I? This one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're back. We're back.
I don't know where we are. I'm totally confused. So
that's what this show is about. Confusion.
Okay. Yep.
And
I'm right there. I'm right there in the confusion. I'm experiencing it in a big way.
We are in the world of confusion.
Dude. I'm going to do a little laugh sign on the Facebook feed. Okay. So, it's a funny kind of confusion. It's, you know, you got to laugh at it. Laughter is a mental orgasm.
Say that again.
Laughter is a mental orgasm.
Oh. Whoa. Okay, Afghanistan.
Now that sounded like you were puffing on something. And by the way,
puffing. We're
not puffing yet, but we could be. And we did a lot of puffing in Afghanistan. I went also to Bandi Amir, which is a beautiful place with a lot of lakes that are crystal clear, and I rode horses all around. And I went to Balkh, Afghanistan, where the Bamiyan Buddhas, it was Bamiyan, Afghanistan. Balkh is another place that I went, but in Bamiyan, I climbed to the top of the giant Buddha, the biggest Buddha in the world. And that's why I was so destroyed when the Taliban blew it up.
Right, they blew it up.
They blew it up, right?
When did they blow it up?
They blew it up before the Twin Towers were, before 9/11. They blew it up like 1999, something like that. It was pretty disturbing. And I started to find out about the Taliban and realized how awful they are. I still don't think America should be occupying Afghanistan. And I think one of the reasons the Taliban is so powerful is because America is occupying Afghanistan, that the Taliban came up in this land to combat both the Soviets, they were Soviet at the time, and that was when I was there. The Soviets were kind of moving around, but they were never as harsh as the Americans. But they were harsh enough, and the Afghans did not want to be ruled, and they will not be ruled. And so the Taliban became powerful, and they have destroyed much of the beauty of Afghanistan, much of the great art that isn't Muslim, because Afghanistan is a mainly Muslim country, but there's a lot of Buddhist art there, or there was, and now I don't think there is. The Buddhists have been destroyed. Mm. So, you know, it's terrible. And some people think that that's a reason for America to be there. But I think it's the reason that it happened is because of the occupation of this country that just wants to be on its own, you know?
Yeah, and the pipeline.
Well, they want of course.
And the poppy fields.
Both the Russians and the Americans are not interested in Afghanistan for its Bamiyan Buddhas or its culture. They're interested because of the pipeline.
The pipeline and
the poppies.
And the poppy seeds, which are the poppy plants, which are guarded by American troops.
Okay. Yeah, and there's probably other minerals there too.
Well, and then there's the Trump kinds, and everybody's in on the money. Everybody's spreading the money around, you know. So
fuck the rich.
Yeah, fuck the rich. Fuck you, rich.
And some of the richest rich and the worst rich are the military-industrial complex, the people that get rich on dropping bombs. And by the way, under Trump, it sort of seems like, well, yeah, he hasn't invaded a new country, which is good. Okay, very good, Trump. But, you know, you said you're going to withdraw everybody. And what happened to that? He didn't do that. And then he's actually increased the bombing and killed more civilians than previous presidents. I'm not sure what the stats are, but... A lot of killing under the Trump administration, some of it in foreign lands, and of course we know unprecedented numbers of Americans are being killed by his ineptitude in the corona apocalypse.
And also he's executing as many people as he possibly can.
And then there's that.
Before he leaves.
That's disgusting.
That really, come on, man.
Yeah, just executing these people, one of whom was almost, I mean, he was pretty innocent. I mean, he wasn't innocent. I think he
was there.
He was there, and he did throw fire on the victims who were already, or set fire to them. They were already killed by this other guy who was executed. And so now he's executed, and he did it when he was 18. And it's just sad to see the country execute anybody, let alone somebody like that who's not, like, supremely guilty.
Well, here's the thing. If they can execute them, they can execute you.
Well, they can, and
they
do.
They could execute me.
And they do.
Yeah, and they do. So you went over there, and now you went back to Yale? No.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. That was in the middle of my Yale sojourn. Okay. Yes. I was quite young, and I went to Afghanistan when I was 19, and Pakistan, actually.
That's pretty courageous. I mean,
and I did get raped in Afghanistan by a hotelier in Kabul when there were no rooms in the hotel, and he told me to stay in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
On the table. And he set up a bed for me. It was awful, but it's so funny to think about. He set up a bed and...
Wait a minute. He set up a bed...
Yeah, on the kitchen table.
On the kitchen table, in the kitchen.
And I arrived at night, you know. I mean, here I am trying to make excuses for my rape, which is so stupid. But anyway, I shouldn't have checked in at night. But I did. I somehow arrived at night. And they were... And it was a hotel I'd been to before. And they were really nice people, a group of brothers, so one of them came in the middle of the night, and he jumps on me, and I start screaming, and then he puts a knife to my face, and he says, shh, so I shhed, and he did his business.
He did his business.
Yeah, yeah. It was bad, but honestly, I have to say it wasn't my worst experience with a guy attacking me. It was worse when I had a guy throw ice in my face and wound me for 6 months in the face. And I've had other, you know, attacks physically, as you know. And the rape was bad. It was bad, but I wouldn't say it was in the top five of horrible things.
It also didn't seem to traumatize you for the rest of your life.
And but no, and well, it wasn't that bad.
Did you sue the guy?
I left. I think I left before dawn. I just, as soon as he left the kitchen, I packed
you left.
Up. And I ran out. I was pretty upset. It was traumatizing.
Well, I can imagine.
No, it was traumatizing. It was terrible. But
if I was in the kitchen sleeping
and I was alone
on the counter, and a woman came in and raped me,
you would have.
Actually, I had that happen.
Yeah, it depends on what the woman looked like.
Okay,
right?
So I'm in the theater. I work in the theater, and I'm staying at all these little pensiones. You know, these little hotels in Italy. And one of them has a ledge about this half as wide as this. And it goes all around the building. And this was the 50s, of course, when if you weren't married, you couldn't get a room together. So I was there. I was living there, and it was in Milan, Italy. And I was working in vaudeville or variety, whatever you want to call it. And I was doing Elvis impressions and Jerry Lee Lewis impressions. And I was, I think, about 17 at the time. And I was traveling around with this troupe. And one night I'm sleeping. And suddenly, in the middle of my sleep, I get hit on my head with a what they call in Italian, una ciabatta. Not the ciabatta bread, okay? But they're like the things you wear at night and around the house, slippers. Yeah, ciabatte. And she started hitting me on the head and saying, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me.
Well, slipper isn't as bad as a knife to your throat. Sorry.
No, of course not. But, you know, we were on the fourth floor. This woman crawls from her room to my room, opens the window, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And says, anyway, I had to do it. I mean, I had no choice.
Did you get hard?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, boy.
Fear did not stop you.
No, she was Lithuanian.
Was she okay looking? Or?
Oh, she was like, whoa.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
it sounds like you weren't that upset about it.
I was not traumatized at all. I said, I hope this happens.
I don't know if that was rape.
More often
I would say that was surprise sex.
Yeah, surprise
with
sex.
With extra aggression. And she might have even had a sense that you wanted it. But it's hard to have that sense and follow through on it nowadays. You don't want to follow through. You have to get enthusiastic consent. You do.
Right.
So.
And you have to have a lawyer
and
there.
And I ain't young anymore, so what can I say? But you guys got to do it now. Hey,
right.
You know, yeah. We used to have sex spontaneously when I was young, now you can't do that.
You know how expensive that is? At 1 o'clock at night, you call your lawyer. And you say, I'm going to have sex. Could you come over with the agreement?
Yeah, well, you know, fuck the rich. I mean, the rich have created this situation because their lawyers all need work.
Right. Anyway, so that was my experience with that.
But well, yeah.
It was very...
That was surprise sex.
Yeah, it was surprise sex. It was about... I didn't resist. There was
Now, in Pakistan... I avoided rape. And that's kind of an interesting story because I was traveling alone. As I said, I was very, I had this feeling that I was immortal. And I had been traveling first with a girlfriend and then with a boyfriend and then with another girlfriend and then with a group of people. And then I wanted to go to Afghanistan and nobody else did. So I thought, I'll go. I was in Amritsar, which is where the Golden Temple is. Beautiful place. All the Sikhs hang out there. It's very mysterious. Sikhs are sexy, yeah. I went to Pakistan, and I actually met up with this really cool guy who was The 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Isn't that a great book? Yeah. It's a great book, and so I was just having a wonderful time, but then he had to go his way, and I'm sort of taking a train, and I meet this older man on the train, and then he asks me if I have a hotel set up in Peshawar, or maybe it was Lahore.
Lahore.
Nice name, huh? Nice. Yeah, that is the name of the city. And anyway, I kind of go along with him paying for everything. He was paying for my dinner, and he paid for me to go in the taxi, and he paid for my luggage, and he paid for my room, and then he wanted sex. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, how could you? He was like this old man to me, probably younger than I am now, but probably 40, you know. And I was 19, and I was shocked. And he moved on me. He was like going, you know, just pushing me up against the wall.
He made the
He didn't
move.
Have a knife, though. He okay, just was
that's good.
Pushing, and he was
yeah.
strong.
Yeah.
And I started crying. That is a weapon, ladies and men, that one can use sometimes.
Right.
And in this case, it worked. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, are you a virgin? And I took that cue.
And I said,
yes,
yeah.
yes, sir,
I'm gonna
I am
bleed
a virgin.
All over you. Blood
I am
is
a virgin.
Run.
And he asked me if I was a Christian.
A Christian.
And I said, yes. So already, here is a case.
That's in a which fast conversion.
Lying is a good idea.
Yes.
I usually believe in honesty, but not always.
Sometimes you have to lie. Yes.
And so it was like a miracle, really, like a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
This well fucked Jewish girl tells this guy who's going to rape her, because he was Christian, it turned out. He was a Christian Arab, of which there are quite a few. And he fell down to his knees, and like I was the Virgin Mary. Oh. And he was practically worshiping me and apologizing to me. He said, I didn't know you were a virgin and that you're a Christian girl.
Oh.
I almost felt guilty that I'd lied so much, but I was going with it. You know, I'd had some acting training, not a lot, but English was his second language. So it worked. And, you know, I got to stay in the room and he left me alone.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And he was, you know.
Very nice.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only I've never dealt with Pakistanis. I have dealt with Indians, not Indians, American Indians, Indians.
India. Yeah, are you going to say something stereotypical now?
No. Oh,
it was just because the way you said, I'm going to, you know, I don't know.
No, it's just something that I always remember about Indians.
Okay.
Indians from India. I was on a ship going to Italy.
Yes.
And I had just won the... I was on the front page of the ship's newspaper because I was rocking and rolling and dancing. And I guess that's the only award I ever got in life. And they said that I was a really good rock and roll dancer. And the next day I'm going to our cabin and an Indian stops me. And he says, I just want to thank you for last night. It was very nice. And I would like to give you this. And he pulled out a pair of socks.
Mm.
He says, I would like to give you a pair of my socks.
Okay.
And I said, oh, well, wow.
Wow.
Thank you so much. I'm just moved. And he says, they're clean.
I was going to ask if they were clean, you know. So,
they're
okay.
Clean. So I said, okay. And I went to my room with these socks.
Yeah.
And that was my first encounter. And I have never, it's always in my head. Every time I put on my socks, I think about this guy in the hallway.
Mm.
Pushing his socks on me, you know.
And they were his socks. He had worn them, but he washed them.
Yeah, he had.
Wow.
Were they short?
I don't know.
No, they were like.
That sounds a little like a Henry Miller story.
No.
No, I mean, okay.
That's a maxi story.
That is, yeah.
That's the truth. Amazing stuff. So, where were we? I'm a little stoned and I'm drinking vodka. So.
Right. Yeah, I haven't started drinking mine. I should. Okay. Cheers.
What else is going
on? Happy Nude Rear.
Max is getting in his groove. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And now I'm going to sing you a song that I just came to me as I was walking to the beach the other day. And I looked up.
Yeah.
And I saw the moon.
You saw the moon?
Yeah. And I started singing.
Aw.
Moon River.
Wow, that's so romantic.
Isn't that nice?
So do you know that Saturn and Jupiter are coming very close together right now, which is a very interesting
thing. Is it consensual between the two planets?
With these planets there and their Greek gods as well. So hard to tell. But they're coming closer together. And it also happens to be Saturnalia time, which is, of course, the origin of Christmas and, for that matter, Hanukkah. Saturnalia is the honoring of Saturn, the old man of time, who looked a lot like a skinny version of Santa Claus, really, and gave gifts and brought good cheer and said, yo, yo, yo. Spelling it I-O-I-O-I-O. So, you know, so much for your ho-ho-hos. Yeah, baby.
But that's I-O-I-O-I-O.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yo. It's a little harder to say than ho-ho-ho, but it's the same idea.
The guy that's talking right now, that's Abe, and Abe is
unseen
our...
Unseen Abe,
but this is a radio show, so we don't have to look.
That's why he's not seen. He's not seen because that's it. There's no camera.
Actually, none of us are seen.
That's why I'm appearing. I'm appearing now.
This is the unseen show.
Yeah, this is... Nobody's listening. So everybody's...
Yeah, no, but we had somebody in the chat room call it a conjunction about the planets kind of being closer to
each other. Yeah, it's a... you stick it in here.
Yeah, is it consensual? Is it a consensual?
So people are saying... what are people saying? Nirvana is amazing. I love hearing Dr. Susie's stories from Emitta. Well, what good taste you have.
Who said that?
Emitta.
Did they say anything about me?
And didn't you read something about you and how great you are?
Yeah, there's one right here that says, you're wonderful, Max. I love you.
Somebody says, good thinking, Dr. Susan.
Good thinking.
Good thinking.
Who said that?
Guy named Michael.
Yeah, the same guy he said first.
Hi, Michael. Hey, Michael. What else would you like to say about my thinking?
Michael?
I would like to hear more about my thinking. Michael?
I just want to know, do you think that I'm not thinking, or do you think she's smarter than I am?
He's comparing. He said Max.
But nobody said...
Max was getting his...
He's thinking.
The one... No, he did. He actually is also saying Max... was getting his groove on.
Oh, his groove on.
The conjunction. Yeah, Michael is really involved here.
Yeah, there'll be a conjunction
and
after the show,
Adriana,
Michael.
Adriana is waiting for her powers to arrive on Monday. That's winter solstice, actually.
Yeah.
He
calls it brilliant and beautiful.
Who?
Michael.
Really?
Michael, the guy.
Let's adopt him.
Wait a minute. Who is brilliant and beautiful?
Me.
I don't know. You got to ask him. We got to ask Michael.
Michael.
Who are you calling brilliant and beautiful?
Max. I'm sure
Who are you calling brilliant?
Of all the
and
people.
And who are you calling beautiful?
Maybe it's Abe.
Are you calling Abe beautiful or are you calling me beautiful?
I don't think we should. This is like capitalism, guys. Stop it. He's calling all of us beautiful.
Oh, okay.
All of us. We all share.
That's what we like.
Share.
Equality.
We don't need to know.
Everybody the same.
Well,
everybody
not the same. No. That sounds like what people say about Maoists. Yeah. No. Not everybody being the same.
Okay.
It's like everybody. You don't. Diversity, right? You have diversity, kinks, different kinks. Everybody's into different kinds of sex.
Right.
And that translates into everything else. Everybody's into different hobbies and kinds of work. But I guess the point is, there shouldn't be just like a handful of people with half the resources of the world in their hands.
Or the vaccine.
Well, all of it. The vaccine, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But that's only, you know, the tip of the iceberg of what this handful of very fucked up people who need to get fucked are.
There's stuff like, there's like a fucking ship that's sitting off of Yemen somewhere, and it's been sitting there for like 40 years. And there's $40 million worth of oil on it.
Wow.
It will take $20 million in order to unload that oil safely because the ship is about to sink.
Nice. Okay?
And then today, I get a thing they send me. What is the stuff they send you in the emails? Spam. Right? Spam, yeah. About this guy that's buying a $50 million yacht.
$50 million.
And I said, who the fuck is this asshole?
What? Yeah.
There's not enough return. There's not, they don't want to put $20 million just to get $40 million back.
Well, so that's why.
Capitalism.
We need a little socialism.
Yeah. I'm a communist.
You know, communism, socialism. I mean, these are just words, you know, and they have all this weight that. Okay. Yeah.
I'm actually a monarchist, and the king of Sweden said today or yesterday, he said, we have completely, completely failed in protecting our people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, monarchists.
Yeah, it's a nice monarch.
I mean, hey, you know, isn't the Bush sort of father, son, that whole thing, those are like a monarchy. Those are like royalty. Certainly the Trumps acted like royalty. I don't know. Royalty is what it is. They just should give up some of the money. They don't have to all go under the guillotine.
Who, the rich?
Right.
Oh, well, depends.
Notice I said all.
Oh, yeah, no, right. Just maybe just a few.
No, none. I'm not into executing. I'm bonobo. I don't want to execute anybody.
No. I just want to keep them in prison for life, suffering.
Well, that
forget
might be
the
fun.
Forget the killing stuff. Cause then you're dead. You know,
we can all have fun. Have some dominatrixes in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody can have fun. And you know what? That is not such a bad idea because a lot of these people... These fucked up people, and I got criticized for this last week by a guest who flaked on me, that I was talking about the death of George Floyd as an act of sadism, that there might have been a sexual element to that.
Right.
And I was, I think there was.
Sure.
And that maybe...
But nobody else would say that.
The guy, Derek, what's his name, that killed George Floyd, that executed him, was jealous of him because he was a, you know, among many things, George Floyd made at least one porn movie. And a lot of people didn't want to talk about that. And I, of course, don't see that as a bad thing at all. I see that as, hey, yeah, guy,
right.
Get it on. You're looking good. I thought he looked gorgeous in it, you know.
Yeah.
It gave me a good view of him.
Didn't they work at the same place at the same time?
And they did.
And
they
did.
Worked so at the same place. Like, so I could imagine that Derek would, or whatever his name was, would get jealous of George in a big way and then find him under his knee and push because of his sadistic jealousy.
But the thing is, these two women who were clowns, I guess from the clown room, or they were at the clown room?
I don't want to identify these people.
No, that's
okay,
you.
Okay, you're doing that, I'm not.
I'm different, I'm on another show on this
what
side.
What clown girls, what are you
on the
about?
Other side of the room, we're physically distancing.
Okay, these are clown girls, and they were supposed to come here. Now, clown girls are very cool, And I love clown girls, and I love
clowns.
Yeah, I love clowns.
And I love girls and women.
We have that in common. You love clowns. I love clowns. You love women. I love women too.
Yeah. I love you.
And I love you a lot. You're very cute, you know. What are you doing after the show, baby?
You're a cutie. How we doing on this show? Let's see.
We're doing good. We're almost done.
Yeah, we're kind of almost done. Yeah. Okay.
So, and we haven't even gotten to, okay, then you graduated from
Yale. Now we have the romance music? Okay. Oh, we're still interviewing me. Yes, I see. Yeah, when do I get to interview you?
Yeah, we got the next show and the show after that.
I see. Okay.
It's a series. It's a 28-week series. Okay. So you...
Interrogate me.
You left Yale.
I like to be interrogated.
Were you ever selling dope?
Waterboard me.
Were you ever selling dope?
With vodka. Of course I was selling dope. I was one of the biggest dope sellers in my undergraduate class at Yale, and I got in big trouble. I was called into the dean's office, and I was told I had to stop. But I did stop, but I had already made enough money. How do you think I went to Afghanistan and India? Right. My parents didn't pay for that. No way. I don't quite know how they thought I got the money for that. I forget what,
you know. Scholarship, right?
Yeah, I told them something just like I told that guy I was a Christian virgin. I told my parents some bullshit story. And I'm not recommending that people do that.
What, tell bullshit stories?
Sometimes, certainly, if it's to save your life to escape rape. Yeah. But you shouldn't do that with your parents.
You got any Jews in the cellar? Oh, no. I got no Jews in the cellar.
I think I had a job. And I think I told them I made more at my job as a Sunday school teacher. I did. I taught Sunday school. Why is that funny?
I think it's great.
Doesn't that all make sense now?
Yeah, a lot of... It's great.
Yeah.
Great.
And here I am, you know.
I like that.
With my dildonic bonobo nativity scene. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So if you've been watching the show for many years and you're going like, the fuck is going on here? Who are these people? Okay, so let me tell you who we are. Dr. Susie and I have been doing radio before this revolution, and we were in the middle of a revolution of technology and stuff. We were one of the first people to broadcast on the internet. We had the first musical show on the internet up in the Hollywood Hills, if you remember.
You talking about the soap salons?
Well, that's even before that.
Yeah, the soap salons were our first venture into radio. I was doing a radio show.
Right.
Radio Match or Date Night.
I called it
different things. And we did soap salons. So, and by the way, speaking of revolution, just to let you know before you go on with your important soliloquy, Saturnalia.
Yes.
Revolution.
Is that what it was?
That's what time it is.
Oh, it is, yes.
It's the time. Christmas is really a time when the slaves are waited on by their masters.
Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saturnalia. It's overturning the status quo. Yeah. So we should kick out Mitch McConnell. We are kicking out Trump, but anyway.
Listen, these Republicans they talk about us little flakes that are billions of us falling from the sky, snowflakes. I love that.
Yeah, I love being a snowflake, we're all different.
I'm very flexible.
All beautiful.
I can melt down.
You can be a blizzard like they're experiencing now
in
the
East. And I can reconstitute myself.
Right.
From water to steel, and from steel to...
So, powerful stuff being a snowflake. I like it. I don't want to let go of that.
Yeah.
The snowflake.
Oh, see, hear all the people laughing. They like that joke.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like the ones that laugh at all the canned.
No, these are not canned.
Oh, okay.
These are not in cans.
But we're, the thing is, we are not, physical distancing, and I don't see anybody here laughing.
Well,
that, I did it earlier, though. They were laughing over something.
These are not, I'm looking at these people here.
Oh, those people.
Yeah, these people are too critical.
Right, right. They're concentrating.
Why didn't you
all right,
do
so
this?
Saturn Alien Revolution.
That should happen.
And yes, we have been doing radio for a while. And then we did video, and we still do video.
Video
is a lot of fun because you get to dress up.
And we have 20, almost 30 years.
Or down.
Of videos of the most amazing underground sort of people that are like not even above the ground, they're a little under the ground. They're not dead, but they're just kind of being born.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, that nobody ever heard of.
Porn stars when they're first starting out, or
and for me, porn stars, writers, kink, entertainers,
all kinds.
Yeah. They've all come through the doors of
and singers and dancers and
singers
clowns.
Singers and dancers and clowns.
And political people.
Yeah, and felons and, you know, and so forth. Lots of wonderful people.
Mm.
Yeah. So these first couple of shows are going to be about a mutual, what is that called? A mutual admiration society. Where we talk
you
about
and me.
Us. Yeah. So you understand who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everybody's doing this now,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful. And I feel like I got into this really late.
Well, it's a really basic thing to do that people are getting into all over the world.
Stick sound in their ears.
Which is talking to someone.
To anyone.
And not looking at them.
Yeah.
You know, and when you don't see, you create the erotic theater of the mind. I mean, if it's erotic. If it's not erotic, maybe it's the violent theater of the mind.
Michael says he loves both of us and everybody else here.
Well, then I'm not so impressed. I liked it when he only loved me. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I want to be socialist. Everybody has
He loves all us
thank
equally.
Thank you, Michael.
Only has two favorites.
Mm.
Okay? But we're equally loved.
Right. He's right there with the love. Yeah.
Yeah. You're great, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah. Love you too and crew. Right. He's got it all in and he's laughing. Yeah. You know, when we do the video show, we can't focus
on the
Facebook feed.
We can't focus on people except as a storyteller, maybe.
Yeah.
That's the
great thing in sex and in kink about sensory deprivation.
Okay,
when you don't have one sense, and in this case, that would be sight.
Yeah.
We can't see. So the sense of hearing is magnified.
And we get to create our own vision
of
what the story is.
That's the,
when there's video,
the theater of the mind.
Yeah. So if you are looking at something that's made up,
mm-hmm.
You know it's fake. Excuse me. Okay.
But you don't always know it's fake. And that brings me to the other side of the beauty of fantasy is the ugliness of fantasy. And there is quite a bit, especially when people take fantasy to, I guess, you know, the Supreme Court. You know, take their fantasy that they won the election. And
that's a very funny line, by the way.
Well, it's
sorry
true.
For interrupting.
Oh,
but that's
no,
good.
Tell me again. But
turn around.
You know, fantasy has its place. And as therapists, and we are therapists here at the Dr.
Right.
Susan Block Institute, and you can give us a call at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
And that's how we actually create Bonoboville. Everybody here is poor. Okay? We all look fucking rich, man, but no, we're on your side, okay? And actually, we need support. So give up some of that money, okay?
Ooh.
I'm going to bring you into Bonoboville, and you're going to meet some extraordinary people and ideas. And maybe I can change your fucking mind to give me a little money, because the rich always have to pay for the poor, or the poor rebel.
You bet. But I want to say that we are actually quite rich. Yes. I mean, we have a lot. And we are very,
alcohol,
as they say, blessed.
Tablecloths.
And space and, you know, good people.
Toilets. Toilets.
There
are so many toilets in this place.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
I don't think the richest person in the world has as many toilets in the place. We got 14 toilets.
That's because this place used to be a home for the deaf.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So that's what we're in, a home for the deaf. And it's funny that we're now just doing radio.
Right.
So you guys, you can't hear us, but we love you.
But you go watch, and they can't hear that.
And we appreciate.
But they can't hear that.
You leaving so we could be here.
They can't hear you.
Although they left long before we got here.
Yeah, okay.
But their spirit kind of haunts the place.
Ah!
Ooh.
And then we have Anna, who is part of Bonoboville. Anna runs everything here.
Anna and Miguel Chico.
And Chico.
Chico, the Pomeranian puppy for Hanukkah. Yeah.
Anna's from Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Italy.
Anna really introduced me to
some black people,
Virgin of Guadalupe,
and some white folks.
Yeah,
that's it.
Speaking of virgins, and you know, this is our virgin show
equator.
Fuck the Rich, so we should say that.
Could you also?
That this is our virgin show, which means it is our first time, and there's a first time for everything. But you never get to have a second first time.
That's right.
So this is
That's true. I know that saying. Who said that?
I just did.
Yeah.
But you can say it again.
I forgot what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so...
it'll come to you.
We want to touch you where no other radio has ever touched you. Starting from your toes.
Mm.
Going up to your ankles.
Mm.
And up your thighs.
Mm.
And so close to you. That everything becomes wet.
Oh, yeah.
There are explosions.
Wet. Oh, it's so wet. It actually is very wet.
It's wet. Susan and I have sex a lot.
What?
Oh, excuse me.
What did you do? I mean, like, yeah.
But... Anna says, I heard you last night.
Oh, God. What are we talking about? Suddenly we're...
We're in the sex
business.
Was
simulating sex just now, but now you're talking about us really having sex.
No, this is the ad. We're doing an ad now. Here's the ad.
Okay.
So if you can't talk to anyone about what you got in your fucking head, and you're all confused, and your therapist does not want to talk about your golden showers, she doesn't want to talk about that, you can call us. We'll talk to you about it, explain it, figure out how it was your mom, your brother, your sister, who pissed on you, you pissed on her. That's what we try to do with you.
We do talk to you about things you can't talk about with anyone else.
And have pleasure in helping you to have pleasure. Because right now we're in the most painful period that we've known in a long time.
And you have to, you know,
Max are
channel
getting
it.
Your groove on, man.
You have to channel
it.
On,
yeah,
that's what Michael.
Shout out to Michael. No, he was. He had that intense voice going.
Everybody's doing studies, and they're doing this, and no, we just have to open up our fucking hearts and say, we cannot do this way anymore.
Oh, no, what are you talking about?
Capitalism.
Oh, capitalism. Oh, okay, that's what this is. Yes, we need to tax the rich. We need to fuck the rich.
They need to
Otherwise,
share.
We got to eat the rich, and they might not taste good.
Right. They probably don't.
Now, fucking them is another thing. Now, I'm not always talking about physically fucking them. I might just want to brain fuck them, you know. And I do, actually, talk to quite a few of them and help them to part with their money. But I need to talk to more, and more than talk to me need to part with their money. because humanity all the is art, in an emergency. Yeah.
All the art of the world has been created by the super rich, meaning the churches, the individuals. The art of the world has been created by the rich.
Well, they've been they've commissioned it.
Right, of course, right.
They commissioned so somebody who was sucking up to the rich, who was basically fucking the
Could
rich.
Could you stop giving the military all this fucking money?
Yeah, really. Right? It's disgusting.
And give it to the arts, because the arts will outlast any missile.
Yeah, even Rockefeller knew that.
Right.
Come on, you stupid people.
What are you doing?
They give it to their think tanks.
Right, and
their
friends.
And they think tank themselves into Trump, is
and
what
that's,
they've
the
done.
The reason they do that is because they want to fucking steal from you. And you know, I get stealing. Everybody steals something, whether it's a store or...
But they want to take everything.
They want
that greedy, rich.
They want to get you by the balls and the tits and squeeze you and tell you lies. And
they can't come until they do.
Right.
And then they never come.
That's true.
Because they can't get enough.
Yeah.
Because there's never enough. There's never enough to pay for everything. You got
they need.
A lot of, payments to make.
And
the more you get, the more payments you got to make, and then you got to get more.
And then more.
And you got to think about it, and you got to protect it.
Yeah.
And
you got to have armies to protect what you've collected.
You're less free to just enjoy fucking and getting fucked.
Forgetting fucking.
Getting
just
fucked
feeling
can be
good.
A great feeling.
Like
feeling
staying.
Good. You know, surrender in war or in politics means defeat. But surrender in love is sweet.
Well, I'll kiss your feet tonight.
And yeah, you guys.
Which toe do you want me to suck, baby?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All of them, one at a time. All the little piggies
Speaking
go home.
Speaking of her toes, those are my girlfriends.
Yes.
They're all lesbians, okay? Mm. How do we know that? They each live...
A harem.
In their same house.
Two different houses.
Yeah, and they're rubbing up against each other all the time.
They are.
Yeah.
They're kind of a family, though. It's a little
like
incestuous.
A yeah.
There's Mama Big Toe.
There's Mama Big Toe. There's the big long one that we have.
You're off the mic.
That one
you know, I know. When you talk about the big long one, you go off the mic. It's a
she
little
is
secretive.
A total asshole.
Ooh,
she's
now my toes are assholes.
No,
that's the wrong body part.
No.
Okay, this is the kind of therapy we give you to be able to speak about body parts, about your down here. And that's what we do, and that's what pays for all of this. And so we talk
about things that are even more complex and taboo than what we're talking about tonight.
So while you're helping,
this is our virgin show,
right? And while you're helping all the other people in the military, why don't you give us something, okay? So that we can build an incredible place somewhere. Right.
Hey, you know what? Michael added something that I was thinking about that I didn't say, and I'm glad to
read this.
You
were both thinking the same thing?
Yeah, you know? Beza, he also said, well said. I think he was talking about you, but maybe it was me. Bezos' ex-wife threw the fucking gauntlet down for rich pricks. And she did. She gave a lot of her money away. She did it.
Billions.
And I don't remember where it went, but that, of course, is important.
Yeah.
But hopefully it didn't go into military.
But it does still go into a lot of fraudsters. All these organizations to help people, they can raise millions and only give 10%.
Ooh.
And it's all cool. And they get a deduction in their taxes. So they haven't given shit, really. That's nothing. You're over here, this one gives you this, and this, then you get paid back over here. No, that doesn't. You know, I can't add two and two, and I'm not an accountant, but that does not add up. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, please.
Give you head?
No, you know, that's nice too. I like that.
All right.
Anna hears you scream, you know.
What? Why are you saying that now?
Oh, no, because I just looked.
Anna hears me scream, but yeah. She doesn't hear you go, ah!
Oh, my goodness.
No, she just hears me scream.
You guys are lucky to be here on the first night of our return to fucking you in the ear.
Yeah.
Trying to get to you. Eargasms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been doing this a long, long fucking time. She's been doing it since the 70s. I've been doing it since the 70s. I've been arrested 23 fucking times for my magazines. I've been through all of this kind of shit. And it's all cool. It's all very nice. Right? I mean, that's okay. But don't, I'm about as American as you can get. Don't tread on me.
Right. And don't be telling me you don't have money
right.
to give people to live and for Medicare for all and for basic stuff in the richest country in the world when you are starting a space farce, I mean force, and calling it the Guardians? What? Guardians of the Galaxy? No. You know, it's Guardians. Also, that's the name of the soldiers of theocracy yeah. in A Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
And you wonder, did Pence know this? I mean, Pence is such a theocratic
okay,
asshole.
Yeah, no, but they have advisors who are saying you have to be more cultural and more understanding of you know, the history and society that we live in.
By the way, you know, I'm going on Abby Martin's show.
Oh, I
Roots,
know. I
with
know.
Her brother, Robbie Martin, who Robbie. I've been corresponding with a little bit. And
you like him better than me or what?
Wow.
What are you, intellectually... exchanging ideas?
I thought I would invite you on with me.
Of course, yeah. No, he's great. She's great.
Well, how about her? Yeah. You like her better than me, for sure. Well, see?
Oh, I don't even want to say.
Right,
because
there you are.
I might have to resign sometime.
She's hot.
Yes.
We had her on the show a couple years ago.
Great.
Actually, it was a few years. It was before Trump.
Yeah, before Trump. She was a mean
She's
ass,
radical, strong and smart.
Fuck you.
And sexy.
Kind of lady.
And she loved my snake, Eve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk, among other things, about the censorship of sexuality.
That's taking
on
place.
The internet.
Everywhere.
In terms of, our show being censored on YouTube and Facebook
and
all the time. And in terms of Pornhub having to have all this rigmarole now because somebody uploaded some underage person,
Listen, these guys, Pornhub, by the way, interesting, I lost the article. One of the universities was one of the first investors in that technology. I just read that today.
Really?
And I forgot what university, but it's like this really Ivy League.
Not Yale.
No, not Yale, actually.
Please.
It might have been Harvard, but it wasn't. I don't remember.
Oh, please, not Harvard.
No. Bula bula.
Anyway, so they invested and Pornhub was born.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
Sounds like it could have come from Sex Week at Yale.
That's possible too. That's one of the things that we're going to talk about that next week.
In
Sex Week at Yale.
Our future shows.
We're going to talk about Sex Week at Yale.
But right now, Pornhub is changing its rules. And of course, I'm not on Pornhub. I don't have any axe to grind. But a lot of sex workers are being impacted, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, of course.
By this.
This is Visa MasterCard.
Sex workers have been impacted by, all sorts of emanations of Sesta Fosta.
The money exchanger in the culture.
So we have a lot of work to do.
Is the thief.
We got a little something done here. We got Trumpty Dumpty to fall off his wall. We did good. I think. Yeah, I hope.
We did. It was the least
future
of
future is yet to come.
Two evils.
We certainly didn't know where 2020 would be this time of year last year. No idea.
No,
no,
we didn't
idea.
Know.
So we don't know. But it feels so right to knock Trumpty Dumpty off his wall and all the would-be king's horse shitters and all the would-be king's faux men can't put Trumpty Dumpty together again. So we have a chance to do some good things this year. Will we? I don't know.
And he self-cooed himself.
Oh, yeah. He's such a joke. He's like Trumpty Dumpty. He's like breaking himself, egg yolk all over himself.
He's the worst enemy the guy has ever had.
But, you know, he has his fans. They love it. They just eat it up. They eat it up like fried egg.
Of course.
An omelet.
These are very nice.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, these are very nice humanoids.
They want to be entertained. they want somebody with some...
I like all those guys out there. All them Trumpers.
And there's a lot of racists out there. And sexists.
A lot of racists and sexists. And you have to stop that.
And there's a lot of people that think that the Republican Party protects their money.
Of course. They protect their...
And they're afraid of socialism.
Not only their money, their buildings. Go downtown. Ooh. And see
but
them.
But those are the minority.
Yeah.
Because they're rich, and the rich are in the minority. But they pay for the advertising that affects us all more than ever. More than ever. Hey, now, we can't even get together. Well, we shouldn't. And so we have to not socially distance ourselves, because that's a misnomer, but physically distance ourselves. We can't gather together. So we got to gather through all these social media. And yeah, it's all like toxic with corporate bullshit.
Absolutely. Corporations that have taken over your life, literally.
Ooh.
Okay. And now are failing, in essence.
We have to try to find each other human-wise, which is bonobo-wise to me.
The ideas of buildings, I mean, fucking space has got junk floating around it. And it's growing and growing and growing. And, I mean, you can control it up to a certain point. But a certain point, you know, that junk is going to blow up something that's traveling through there. And to turn outer space into a military space.
How do we
get there?
As my grandma would say.
How do we get to the point that we go and conquer space and everybody else tries to conquer space?
Capitalism,
yeah.
You know, the resources are out here. Where the money is, and where the money is in destruction.
The resources are gone. They're going.
And
they're
it's
going to
kill us all unless we really fuck the rich good. We got to fuck them good. We got to get them fucked, you know, good. And we got to honor sex and not greed. We got to honor lust and not greed.
Not too violently or anything like that. You should
not violently.
What do they call that stuff you put on your penis when you want to have sex?
Viagra?
No.
What are you talking about?
No, the
lube?
Lube. Okay, so be gentle. Be gentle, because...
You don't like lube.
No, I don't like... The rich like it, because they're anal. Okay.
I was trying to figure out where the whole lube thing came from.
No, that's...
Okay.
They don't want nobody coming near them.
No, but they should be fucked with the baby Jesus butt plug.
Yeah, and gently.
And gently, very gently. And
nicely.
And they should have a good
nicely.
Life. Because it's a really hard...
Ryan.
Stressful life when you're always, you know, protecting your money and trying to make more and fucking other people out of their rightful, like, just basic life existence.
And then getting prosecuted for pinching somebody's ass.
Well, yeah.
And you have to resign.
All kinds of pressures on the rich. I don't really envy the rich. I don't envy. I don't envy the rich. I just resent them.
I come from a family.
that they don't, they're so greedy. You know, come on, guys.
You have 2 minutes.
Not all.
2 minutes.
Anyway, yeah.
All right, so
2 minutes.
Say goodbye to everybody. Anna, Chico, Harry, Gideon.
We're going to have the awards.
Yeah, we're going to have the awards next week, Saturday, okay? We're going to shut up.
Yes.
And we're going to give you people that like video. I don't like video. We're going to give you video.
We're going to give you some video.
From the old days and the old times.
But it isn't the same. It's about the looks. Okay. So I also just want to say,
Michael.
Fuck the rich, the bonobo way right. is important. And at this time of year, when you give to charities, because you are rich, or even if you're not, give to the bonobos and help to save them from COVID as well as other menaces, bushmeat hunting. Give to Lolia Bonobo and the Bonobo Conservation Initiative and the Bonobo Project. You can find them all at blockbonobofoundation.org. And give the Bonobo Way, which is, of course, a book. And that book is available on Amazon, and a portion of all proceeds go every month to helping these organizations continue to save the bonobos, who teach us to make peace through pleasure, to empower the females, but maintain male well-being. We're going to talk more about what that means, but it means making the boys feel good. Yeah, nom, 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 nom. But empower the females. The ladies are in charge, basically, of everything in the but yeah, right. But the guys have a good time, and what else? They share everything, and
out of time.
And they also practice ecosexuality and peace through pleasure. Peace on earth, pleasure for all. Happy Saturnalia. Yo, Saturnalia. Yeah.
Yo.
Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you.
You hear that?
I love you.
You hear that, huh?
I love you.
Woo! Turner. That was fun.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio 21 on the World Wide Web.